I speak to you in the name of one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lawyers sometimes get a bad rap. One of my favorites are the transcripts that go around from actual trials, like the lawyer who actually asked, "Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people?" "All my autopsies are performed on dead people," was the answer. The lawyer continued, "Do you recall the time you examined the body?" The witness, "The autopsy started 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Johnson was dead at the time." "No, he was sitting on the table wondering what I was doing an autopsy on him for." It's easy to poke fun at lawyers, and we really shouldn't, but they've been doing it since the time of Jesus. And we forget there are great lawyers, lawyers who freed people like James Richardson, who served 22 years for a wrongful conviction until a lawyer said, "I'll take your case." Or Daryl Hunt, who served 19 years until a good lawyer figured out he was wrongfully convicted. And what about the prosecutors who protect us from thieves, murderers, and crooks? In my last congregation, I had a lawyer that helped put away Bernie Madoff. What about Charles Manson? He would never hurt anyone again. Or the prosecutor that took serial killer Gary Ridgway and put him away to make sure his next victim wasn't a victim. There are great lawyers, and this is one of my favorite heresies. I think the lawyer in today's gospel was a great lawyer. I think he's gotten a bad rap. I think he's a good lawyer. The first thing we need to understand about the Pharisee lawyers, they're not lawyers like we think of today. They were schooled in rabbinical law. It was said that they could take a tightly rolled scroll, take a pen, poke it through the scroll, and before they remove the pen, tell you every letter that the pen had touched. That's how much they knew the law. I think this guy was a good lawyer. I think he had examined and heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees in their place. And he knew that false prophets would arise. And I think he was intrigued. I know this morning, as you were sipping coffee, looking up the scripture in original Greek, you caught it. Tested. The word tested. It's a derivative of the word tempted. And I think what this lawyer is doing is trying to tempt Jesus, a man he doesn't know, into revealing the essence of that man. False Messiah, misguided individual, or the Son of God. And so he asks a question that's almost impossible to answer. Which of the 613 laws, we only asked you guys to keep 10 of them, 613 of them is the greatest. That's what they thought existed in the law of Moses. 613 proscriptive laws. Don't do this. Now, if Jesus answered it, he's going to pick one, leaving 612 below it. And Jesus does something remarkable. He answers it without answering the question. He never answered the question. Did you notice that? What he did is he reframed it. And I want you to imagine in your mind that there are two rods coming out of the wall here at St. Paul's. Two long rods. And what Jesus does is he quotes from the Shema, he quotes from morning and evening prayer, and he says, the commandments are kind of like these two rods sticking out our wall. On the first rod is Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And here on this second rod is Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see where I'm going with it? Everything can be explained if you understand what they hang on. And they hang on one word, love. He distilled it down to love. It's kind of like having an NFL referee standing in front of us with his cap on, his zebra shirt, and his yellow flag. And we ask this referee, which of the NFL's rules is the greatest? There's 17 of them, of which it takes 121 pages to explain. The referee looks at everybody and says, oh, it's real simple. The team with the most points wins. Everything else hangs on that. This is what Jesus is doing. He's putting it simply. If you've got 613 proscriptive laws, turn it around. Think of it as prescriptive. You do something. You do it out of love. If you love God, you will keep the Sabbath holy. You will not take His name in vain. You will not do false idols. If you love your neighbor, you will not bear false witness. You will not murder. If you love yourself, now that's hard. That's the hard one, loving yourself. In July of 2015, there was an article in Psychology Today, wonderful article. It talked about how we as a humanity do not love ourselves. We can look at ourselves critically. We can examine ourselves. But somehow we want to beat up on ourselves. We don't just want to look at it and say, okay, we stumbled. We're going to learn from it. We're going to be a better person because of this experience. We are going to be comfortable in our own skin. What do? We become insecure. And this article presupposes that if we don't stop it, our teenagers are going to grow up as one of the most insecure generations ever because we're trying to teach them to be perfect, not comfortable in their own skin. You see, God, as we hang off our two rods, loves us for who we are, young, old, skinny, overweight, lots of hair, no hair, gray hair, blonde hair. God loves you. Just the way you are. And we need to learn to love ourselves in that same way. That's why I think this is such a good lawyer. Because when Jesus explains it this way, love, love, which is the greatest commandment? Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. What did this lawyer do? This is why I think he's a good lawyer. He didn't do anything. He didn't ask a follow-up. Silence. Nothing happened. Johnny Cochran, who, by the way, is from Shreveport, Louisiana, in case you didn't know that, was once asked, what's the mark of a good lawyer? He said, a good lawyer is one that knows when to shut up. Interesting, isn't it? I think he's a good lawyer. Jesus answered it in a way that this lawyer said, wow, this is the real deal. Because he didn't ask a follow-up question. Oh, he could have gone after him. Ah, there's 613 of them. Answer the question. He didn't do it. He was silent. And then what is the next thing that happened? Jesus tested them. He tempted them with a simple question. The son of David. Yeah. Son of David. We all got it. That's who the Messiah is going to be, the son of David. Then why did David use the term, Lord, my Lord? Wow. I think he's a good lawyer because what did he do? He sat down and said, man's got it. Man's got it. And the Pharisees from that moment on dared not ask them any more questions. I think that's a correct summation of the law. 613 do's and don'ts. And Jesus said, learn two of them. If you learn two of them, the rest of them will fall into place from these two rods that I'm hanging them on. And I hope that's something you and I can learn. We need to learn to love God and mean it. We need to learn to love our neighbors, accept them for who they are. And we need to learn to love ourselves. And that's the hardest part. Be comfortable in your own skin. Because if you are, you will love God, you will love your neighbor. And on these two laws, in all the law,